Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, I think this week, being such a dynamic one with the guests that we've had, we should end it with another dynamic guest, and that's Barbara Max Hubbard. There is a phenomenal story that we're going to be sharing with you today, and Barbara has put together a wonderful film called Visions of a Universal Humanity. Barbara, I want to welcome you to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
At the very beginning of the movie, there is a wonderful picture of you, and there is this quote from Buckminster Fuller, that there's no doubt in my mind that Barbara Max Hubbard, who introduced the concept of futurism to society, is the best informed person now alive regarding futurism and the foresights it has produced. That is how your movie opens, Barbara. Why has this been such a passion with you for so long? Your movie, by the way, is just gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Well, you know, I have a fundamental life purpose that came out of a great question. And my life has been guided by, I would say, profound questions that have led to revelation. And the question that it was guided by is what, right after the U.S. dropped the bombs on Japan, was the question, what is the meaning of all this new power that's good? What's the meaning of science, technology, industry, the enormous ability to co-destroy or co-evolve? And so I started to look for positive images of the future equal to our power.
Mm-hmm.
And at that time, in 1945, there were no images of the future equal to our power. None. And so I became a researcher into what's emergent, what's creative, and I discovered the evolutionary story of Teilhard de Chardin, Sri Aurobindo, Brian Swim, and I realized we're evolving. And the meaning of our power and the meaning of our crisis is our own conscious evolution.
Well, now, in this movie, you have had so many wonderful people that participated in helping you put this together. And you had so many different segments in it. And
yes,
when we're going through it, and I love the way the use of color was brought into it and the various imageries that you have, how long, now this right there is the title, It Began with a Vision. How long did this concept for this film take for you to bring it together in your mind first, and then bringing the people together? The artistry in it is exquisite. I mean, I love the way it opens up with the leaves of maple and just all of these wonderful, wonderful fields of image that you have.
Well, of course, the production of it and the artistry was Norman Kramer and Patricia Gall, mainly Norman, who is the editor, and Patricia, who has been the administrator of the foundation and whose passion is making these movies, and who wanted to find a way to bring forward the ideas of conscious evolution that would be accessible and popular and realizable. So in that sense, the movie itself took about 2 years, and the people who I interviewed came because they're my friends, and they came on their own volition and spent a day with me, and then we did the interview, and then Norman and Patricia edited it. But how long it took me to get all these ideas is a lifetime. I mean, this is a lifetime of research and exploration into what we call the memes. And the movie is about the memes that change the culture. A meme is an idea that when you have it collectively, you build a new culture.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had terrible memes in the, like, the 20th century. We had Nazism. That was a memetic code, and it was built very consciously. And when it was defeated, the German people can hardly imagine they did what they did.
Mm-hmm.
The communism, Stalinist communism, was a memetic code that took hold, and then it took power, and then it failed. Earlier days, you could say that the Catholic Church with the Inquisition and the absolute power was mm-hmm. a meme. And when the Enlightenment came in, that meme lost control. So what I've been seeing is, what's the meme that we choose that are mm-hmm. emerging now in our society, which if we hold them together, will build a new culture? That's the meaning of the whole thing.
What I find so interesting in reviewing, as much as I do, I review about 400 to 600 pieces of books, plus magazines, etc., a year for the show, and I have been noticing more and more about the writing and the bringing forth to empower the female.
Yes.
And when I say female, I'm not just talking about women all by themselves.
No.
I'm talking about the female side of the universe that is so very,
yes.
very important. And
yes.
you have Dr. Chris Bach in your video.
Chris Bache.
I beg your pardon. I mispronounced
yes.
it.
Yeah.
That brings this out. And there are so many aspects of culture, and you can even view it in the news on a daily basis, where the patriarchal positioning is crumbling, where something that has been in place maybe for thousands of years just isn't holding true anymore.
Right. Right.
And not that it's going to flip-flop overnight, but as we have developed this tremendous communication capacity via the Internet, Twitter, you know, Facebook, and all these new mediums that are developing, people cross-culturally and on so many other levels are saying, wait a minute, so-and-so is doing this over in such and such a place. Education has opened up for women. And there's so many places in the world where it was denied for so long, and little by little, because of technology, awareness is opening up, and so there's a different paradigm that's evolving, but the old paradigms are getting out their swords, you might say, saying, no, we're going to fight you to the death. And this isn't new. This is what you described as the evolutionary process.
Well, you know, it's not only that women are being let in, but women are evolving the systems they are let into.
Mm-hmm.
I call it the feminine co-creator. This is beyond the feminist movement where we had to fight for equality.
Right.
But we do not want equality in a dysfunctional world. So many women, whatever level of life they're interested in, are moving towards evolving the world. And they are seeking partnerships with evolving men. But it's really about giving our gift into the world. And
mm-hmm.
the world itself now needs the feminine creative energy. And since we're having fewer children and living longer and longer lives, there is a way to do this now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So because that's why we're coming forward like this now.
I agree. Now, you have James Gardner, and he in his discourse mentioned that every culture has their visionaries, and that as technology is being embraced, this broader concept is being absorbed. And of course, whenever you're around children today, you find that the children are an expression of that evolving modality. And it's
yes.
really causing a big confusion in the educational world.
Yes. We know Buckminster Fuller used to say that the later you're born in the life cycle of the planet, the more you know. That is to say, the younger children were born later. Like, I was born way, way back, 1929. So the story is that if a child is, let's say, born in the year 2000, or even, you know, earlier, some for some of the really young ones, they're born in the midst of a planetary body, planetary social body that is far more mature and far more in a crisis and also with far more opportunities for communication and interaction and knowledge. So that those children are born into an emerging social body. It's not just a child is born. A child is born as a member of a planet, which is itself evolving.
And that evolution is moving at a tremendous speed because there are major challenges coming up. One of the things that I've heard from the younger generation is they say, we can't think the way you did. We want to know about what went on in the past. But we're really concerned because we want to be so prepared for what is happening to us right now. We can't look at things the way we have been sort of taught to look at. It's not fitting. It's not working.
Well, they're absolutely right. And I think the elders, like myself, I think of myself as an elder from the future. And so what's really happening is that elders like ourselves, I don't know how old you are, but, you know, certainly not a child, is that I think we're one big generation. Because nobody on Earth has been through the transition from a high-tech, overpopulating, polluting culture into a co-creative, sustainable, universal humanity. Nobody. Unless you're an extraterrestrial. So the and some people think they are, but other than that, we're all in it together. We're all at a threshold simultaneously. And if you are an elder from the future, you get up to the horizon. If you're a young person with this awareness, you get up to the horizon, but none of us have crossed that horizon. And I think we need each other. Obviously, young people have certain insights that the elders don't have, but then the elders have experience that the youngers don't have.
I agree.
So I don't, but we're talking here of elders with this sense of evolutionary emergence. Now, many elders don't have it, but it's also true that many children don't have it.
Well, I think that, again, because of the capacity of communication, there's, again, this technological aspect that the younger generation just, they adopt just like they do all of their senses. It's there. It's part of our lives. We don't even think twice about it. It just is. But they are not aware of a capacity of communication that many of those, as I'll use your term, the elders, that they have. And they feel sort of lost. They feel like they've got big holes inside of themselves because something's missing, and they think that, gee whiz, we've got to go faster. They have this sense, as almost all of us do, that things are speeding up at an incredible rate, and we have to pay attention. We have to be very aware of now. You know, plans are great, but mindful present is so important.
This is absolutely true, and since we are told that the crisis, particularly at the environmental level, and we can see it all around us, goes very fast and can lead to ecological breakdown. We've seen it at the BP oil spill, and you don't even, that's just one event. Look at the repercussions of that and global warming, and resource depletion, and the seas dying in certain places. Well, an ecology can collapse fast. It's also true that through internet and connectivity, we can do a very fast connectivity of what's emerging. And I think that we're like, you know, in the crisis of birth, the breakdowns are accelerating. The possibility of connecting what's creative is also accelerating. And whether or not we make it through together in time to avoid the collapse is the drama. You could say, like Hamlet, evolution or extinction. And I call it conscious evolution, meaning evolution has become conscious within humans, and not just conscious of evolution, but conscious as evolution. You see, you and I on this phone are evolution expressing this. I mean, who else are we?
Right.
we are the universe in person, each one of us.
Mm-hmm. That's very true. Now, one of the things, too, as you brought out in your film, which is, again, I have to let my audience know, it's just absolutely exquisitely done, the artistry, the communication with all of the different persons that are participating in this, and again, the movie is called Visions of Universal Humanity. I really think that you bring out some very good points, you and the guests that you have, and that is the awareness of personal responsibility and taking time to find out who we are instead of getting caught up. Now, this goes, all the wise sages have said this is, you know, to thine own self be true, for example. This is something we do. But there is an awareness that is here that's saying, take care of this now.
Yes.
You have got a life. You have a purpose with your life. There is a value to your being here. You have a creative component. Be aware of what's going on. And it's very difficult for certain persons in certain modalities to be able to shift, to say, okay, I'm going to be able to make this, so, you know, make the shift. It's not easy, but we don't have to worry about that because they will or they will not. But if, as individuals, we take that positioning of responsibility, and if we awaken to our strengths, we have got so much going for us. We really, really do.
Well, you're right, and it's so important, like what you're doing in the new media, conscious media, because when people don't have any meme or idea that they can make it through or that their particular creativity is needed, it's much harder than if they hear the voices of many evolutionaries and the voices of possibility, that you immediately say, okay, I can participate in that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one reason I care so much about communicating the possibilities of our time. I mean, when I ran for vice president, inspired by Buckminster Fuller, in 1994, it was in order to propose a peace room as sophisticated as a war room to map, track, connect, and communicate what's working.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, that was before the Internet had hardly existed. And so now, I'm in groups that are really trying to connect what's working.
Mm-hmm.
And we have sophisticated information technologies. So let's intend that by the year 2012, December 21st, 22nd, we haven't connected what's working and we can celebrate the emerging epoch of evolution.
Well, I think that's exactly what's going to happen. I know there will probably be a lot of discord in different places going on anyway, because that's the natural way that life moves forward. There is always going to be transitional phases, good, bad, or indifferent. But I really do think that there are so many new modalities that are emerging very rapidly, and it's hard to even discern them because there are so many minds working together towards a shift. And it's a multicultural, non-gender-based enthusiasm, and for all of the muck we see, there is all of this that's working underground, and it reminds me of how a seed has to work up through rocks and mud and dirt to finally get to above ground so it can put its shoots out, and even then, you still have to work. You still have to make it so that it comes into its real form, and I really think that because of the things that have been going on. And that's so wonderful about the film that you've done, because all of these different paradigms of thought that go into the support, or let's use the word fertilization, of the fact that we have options, instead of saying it's either this way or this way.
Right, right, right. I think for many people, once they know that there are options and that our crisis is stimulating evolutionary drivers toward innovation, transformation, connectivity, when we know that this is the way evolution works, it works through crisis preceding mm-hmm. transformation, then you start looking at what's evolving in yourself. And you start with, what's emerging in me now that I haven't realized yet? And that gets people to think about their life purpose. And it's not such an easy question, because if you think it has to be in the traditional existing systems, like, education or law or health, and if you're going into an old version of the system, then it's depressing. But if you're attracted to the new version, you have to know the people who are pioneering. And I call it the communion of pioneering souls. There are thousands and thousands of us, but we haven't yet become visible as a community, as a mimetic pattern.
Mm-hmm.
You get an Al Gore or you get somebody like that who can show you where the crisis is clearly. But we haven't yet learned to show us where the emerging is. And that's been my work all my life, is to see. That's why Visions is a wonderful movie, because it shows you what's emerging.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just as real as what's breaking down. In fact, it's connected.
Well, and again, so like a compost pile. You take what is going to be valuable from that has been, and it has a chance to break down so that it can give new life to what needs to be nourished. And that's on multiple levels. It's not just on a singular level, which I think is very hard for a lot of people to see, because they're so busy. They're just busy with what they call survival. But there comes that point, and I've had so many people as guests, and with my interaction with the public, they'll say, I'm having these experiences, and I'm not the way my mother was or the way my grandmother was, and I don't have anybody to talk to. I just feel like I'm sort of lost out there in limbo land. Well, what they don't understand is that they need to go through that limbo. That encourages them to move forward, because if you don't have those phases of confusion and frustration and agitation, you're going to be in a comfort zone. Why are you going to bother to rattle the cage? You're not going to do that.
No, I think this is true. And I think it's very important, like take depression, which I had when I was a mother of five in way back in the late 1950s, early 1960s, and didn't have any idea of my life purpose. And I loved my children. I loved giving birth. But it didn't touch the deeper part of my expression. So I finally had to realize that I had to look for what the larger purpose was for my life. And when I discovered that I have a desire for evolutionary communication, and I began to do it, it completely transformed my depression. So I think of depression as a pressure to express. And if you don't express, then you can get sick, addicted, you get ill, violent, because nature wants everyone to express their full potential.
I think that's so true. And again, it's a challenge. And I've been reviewing some historical material, and I find any person that moved forward years beyond what other people were looking at, usually it came out of what I'll call their personal epiphany, whether a vision, whether it was, gee whiz, I don't need this type of life anymore. It comes in so many different ways. But it hit them. It hit them, and they awakened. That's how I like to say it. They're not sleeping anymore. They're not in that twilight zone. And that's what the information in your movie, that's what it brings forward. And I think it also brings forward enough of what I consider the challenging thought to shake people's paradigms. And I know some people don't want their paradigms even rattled a little bit, so they get very agitated. I mean, we've got wars all over the planet where people have done this.
Right.
So I look at this and I just think, how refreshing for you to be able to put something together that actually anyone of any age, I mean, you could take a 10-year-old that would watch this and they'd say, yeah, I understand what she's saying. And that's because of where they are today.
That's very true. And one of the good things about the movie Visions of a Universal Humanity is if anybody gets hold of that movie, it's been communicated to the spiritual cinema now, it's out there in the public, mm-hmm. is that you can then have a group of friends in to see it
mm-hmm.
in your home, or you can do a screening at a church, and then you can have a dialogue on what people believe to be the ideas that can move us forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that the most important thing that anybody has is the mimetic code that they believe in. And most people don't know they have a mimetic code.
Right.
They take, you know, if you're in a culture, you think that's just the way it is. But the way it is based on the set of cultural values. Like, you know, in Don Beck's work, if you're a Taliban warlord,
mm-hmm.
you have a different set of values than if you're, let's say, George Bush in an authoritarian regime.
Mm-hmm.
Or what if you're a business person who only wants to succeed and get ahead personally?
Mm-hmm.
So what if you're really interested in environment and equality and social justice? Those are called first tier. Second tier thinking, according to Don Beck, is when you jump and you see the whole system, all the levels of cultural values, and that you yourself become whole system because you're seeing the different values, and everyone has some of that in them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the warlord in you, you have the authoritarian, you have the business person, and so on. But then it seems to me that what's happening to people like us is we seem to start embodying another consciousness, and it's not about even getting along with, or it's that we are an evolving species, and I wonder if the species is not mutating.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, we had Homo erectus, Homo habilis, Homo Neanderthal, Homo sapiens sapiens. Do you think that we are now becoming Homo universalis, Homo noeticus, and that literally Mother Earth is giving birth through this species to beings capable of co-evolving, capable of attuning to spirit within and co-creating. And there have been great mystics and avatars all throughout human history. However, we were not, we were not able to do it en masse. And
mm-hmm.
now the point is, I think that we are beginning to.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe we're an evolving species. That's what I think.
I do believe that that is the case, especially when you look at the cross-cultural intermarriages. People
mm-hmm.
of diversified backgrounds blending together into paradigms that allow for multiple types of thoughts. Not
Absolutely.
Black and not white. And when you have this kind of a harmonic, it's like an orchestra. Instead of having, you know, a little quartet that's playing that
mm-hmm.
particular arrangement, you mm-hmm. might have 30, 40, 50, 500,000, a million instruments playing. And when you look at each human being as a musical instrument, and that's
uh-huh.
the thing I'll sort of close this out with, all of us have our music that we can play in our own personal expression, creating the orchestra
yes.
that can make frequency changes of a different type. And it's just amazing how this can occur. Absolutely amazing.
Well, you know, what's even more amazing that we came out of nothing at all for 13.7 billion years.
Mm-hmm.
This process of creation created the galaxies, created our Earth, created life, created bodies like our own, which have 50 trillion cells organized. So if you want to be amazed, I say let's be amazed at the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's be amazed at the mystery. And whatever you want to call it, from a scientific view of nature as material-based to a spiritual or an evolutionary, it's a mystery. It's an awesome mystery. And the beauty is that we are the mystery becoming conscious of itself.
And that is absolutely tremendous. Barbara, I know we're just about out of time.
Yes.
What is your website? Because Visions of a Universal Humanity is an exquisitely, exquisitely done movie. Patricia and Norman, as you said right at the beginning, just have done an incredible job, along with yourself and all of the participants in this exquisite film. What website can they go to?
They go to BarbaraMarksHubbard.com.
BarbaraMarksHubbard.com.
Yes.
Barbara, it has been an absolute delight having you as a guest today.
Thank you so much.
I know this is going to be incredibly successful for you, and it's building its own momentum. And whenever you come out with your next book or your next movie, you've got to let me know.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
This
All right,
is Donna Sebo.
Bye-bye.
This Barbara Max Hubbard has been my guest. Visions. Yes. Visions of a Universal Humanity. Absolutely awesome. A must-see. So go to her website, Barbara Max Hubbard, H-U-B-B-A-R-D. Check it out. You will be so glad you did. This is Donna Sebo. We're taking a break. We're going to be back in just a moment. Don't go away.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Hello, welcome back. This is Donna, and if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a buzz. We have a toll-free worldwide number that you can call into. What is it? It's 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Now, for those of you that would like to be on my email list, all you need, I send out a monthly newsletter. I'm going to be sending out a short blip of information regarding the guest I had yesterday, Karen Good, whose book, Kids Who See Ghosts, and in that book I have contributed my opinions and information, and she included what I had suggested to her regarding kids and their psychic ability, so that is in the book, and I am going to be sending out information regarding that via email. So if you would like to be a recipient of the newsletter and any other information that I send out occasionally, then all you have to do is send me an email, say, Donna, put me on your email list, send it to Donna@DelphiInternational.com. Also, I want to let you know about upcoming shows that I'm going to be doing. There are some more that are coming up on the agenda, but right now these are the two that are currently booked solid, June 2nd and June 27th. Now, both of these dates are Sundays. On the 20th, I'm going to be on Bipolar Radio Nation, and you can listen to it on Bipolar Radio Facebook, Bipolar Nation Radio on Facebook Live, or you can go to latalkradio.com. I'll be on at 11 in the morning on Sunday, June 20th, and callers are welcome, and the call-in number is 323-203-0815. On the 27th, I'm going to be at 3:30 in the afternoon. Now, these are Pacific times, by the way. Denise Barnes. Now, this is going to be a program done in Nashville, Tennessee, on WVOL 1470. The program is called Differences, and I'm going to be on air with her for a short period of time, and then we're going to be doing another show later on, but we're going to be chatting that day. So these pieces of information regarding upcoming appearances will be all in my newsletter. And if you didn't get my newsletter and you'd like to have a copy, all you have to do is go to my website and touch the button on your left that says newsletters, and you'll have it right there in front of you. And you can download it, you can share it with people, whatever you'd like to do. Well, that's that. So I'm going to pass that along to you. Also, for those of you in the Pacific Northwest, there are going to be some points of information regarding a wonderful event called the Washington Midsummer Renaissance Fair. And this is an annual event, and this is so exciting. It's going to be coming up in a couple of months. So within a few weeks, we're going to start giving you information about that, and I'm just giving you the heads up on it. And next week, we've got a great lineup of people. Now, by the way, if you'd like to call in and chat with me, the number to call in to is 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. There are just so many wonderful people in this world, and I feel so privileged to have the opportunity to interview people like Barbara Max Hubbard and physicians and other persons with various backgrounds of experience and knowledge who are wanting to share what they have learned with the publishing of a book, and that's always a challenge. It takes a lot of effort, and it takes a lot of concentrated discipline. So I'm just so pleased I'm in a position to bring these people to you via the wonders of technology. Now, we're going to be talking on Monday about fatherhood. Now, you'd think that, gee, this being the month that we honor fathers, it's sort of strange how we're going to be talking about the coaching for fatherhood. Well, hey, it's just as tough for the guys to know how to be a good dad as it is for moms to know how to be good moms. I'm sorry, but we don't come equipped with instruction kits, and lots of times we encounter challenges. So this is a wonderful book that I think would be just great. And if you know of a young person that might be interested in hearing about, a young man that might be interested in knowing about this, hey, ladies, this is a good thing to listen to. That's going to be on Monday. Tuesday, we're going to be talking about the menopause thyroid solution. Mary Showman is going to be my guest. They are finding out more and more how the thyroid, especially with women as they're going through menopause, plays such an important part. With technology, they have been able to do better measurements, more evaluations, research, and primarily it's because we women are living so much longer. I mean, it wasn't that long ago that if a woman survived to the age of 50, that was old. Well, my goodness, now we're living to be close to 100. So we're doubling that, maybe even more, in the factor of longevity. So learning about your body and understanding how to work with it and keep it healthy and strong. It's not any different than maintaining your automobile. But you've got a living chassis here. It needs some tender, loving care. Also, we're going to be talking with Jerzy Gregorek. This is, I think, going to be a very enlightening discussion because we're going to be talking about the happy body. There's a little bit of focus next week on wellness and being good to yourself. Then we'll talk to William Powers on Thursday of next week about 12 by 12. That is the amount of space that he lived in and really grew into deep understanding about many things. How did he get there into that little tiny space? Well, you'll have to tune in to find out about that. And then a week from today, we're going to be talking about soul sight. Mary Barton is going to be sharing with us some insights that she has regarding your own intuitive development. So we've got a great lineup of guests next week, and I invite you to join me. Donna Sebo here. If you'd like to chat, give me a buzz at 888-815-9756. Well, how about a little bit of summer horoscope here? We've gone through Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Libra, and Scorpio. Let's get to some of you Sagittarians. And maybe we can get Cancer and Leo in as well. Okay, so let's see what we can do here. And again, if you want to chat with me, 888-815-9756. Okay, for those of you born under the sign of Sagittarian, well, are you going to have a wonderful, wonderful summer? You know, if you're looking for romance, apparently it's going to be right in your path. So it's going to be up to you as to whether or not you are going to want to make that a significant part of your life. And if you've got family, it seems like this summer is going to be such an opportune time for you to link up with those who mean so much. And sometimes we have extended families, which are friends and people that we've come to know through the years. This is a great time to link up with them. Now, if you really want to get into the travel scene, well, don't be surprised if you have an unexpected gift or opportunity that'll make it affordable for you so that you're going to be able to maybe see some places you've wanted to go to for a long time. Money is something that you work very hard for, and you need to keep your eyes open for some very opportune situations that may enable you to step up on that money ladder of accomplishment, but also to really find something that means more to you and brings you a lot of satisfaction. So don't worry if you've had some financial drama in your life, you're going to be able to work through it. Let's move on to those of you under the sign of Cancer. You know, if you're married, you have just got some fun times with that special person in your life. And also, if you're looking for marriage, well, you've got a good opportunity if you want to have it there, but you've got some challenges also that are coming up this summer. You maybe have seen them coming. It's okay. You can get through them. Understand, those challenges are opportunities for you to stretch the muscles of yourself mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually, and that'll allow you to come out stronger and more self-assured. Traveling, well, you're going to have quite a few people who are going to want you to stop by and to visit, but you have to ask yourself, what kind of a pace do you want? If you're wanting to attend a lot of parties, well, great, go for it. But keep in mind, if you've got a busy working schedule, you may have to give yourself a little bit of private time to recuperate. And cash flow problems could be a challenge for those of you under the sign of Cancer. Now, if you use good sense and keep an eye on budgeting what you've got, you're going to be able to turn what seems to be a rather tight financial situation into a smooth sailing one by fall. But it means that you have to be consciously attentive to what needs to be done. And let's go for Leo, and then that will be it for today, and we will get to the other signs later on. But for those of you under the sign of Leo, by golly, you're going to find that if you've had any discord with people in your life, whether it's family, friends, you know, various individuals, you're going to iron them out because you are going to have a new awareness about yourself and what you need to do to make the changes in your life that'll put you into a better space. Money and career, well, you are going to find that you're going to be very, very thoughtful about how you use your money. You're just not going to be out there spending it just for the sake of spending. Nope, you're going to want to make sure that wherever you put your money, it's really going to have value. And if you're looking at investing in a home or a piece of real estate, check out your long-term picture for what it is that you're wanting to have. And don't be afraid to negotiate because you can set up a real good deal. And with summertime traveling, well, you might find that you are going to really think carefully about where you want to go, because if you're going to travel, you would just as soon make it a super trip where you're totally concentrated on it instead of making a bunch of little trips. And this is fine, whatever works best for you. But for those of you under the sign of Leo, you are going to be very thoughtful about how you spend your money. So you feel like if you're going to do something, you really want to do it in a way that allows you to get the biggest, the best, and the most for whatever you're putting out financially in your travel experience. Well, that leaves me with the signs of Virgo, Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces, and we'll get to you on another day. This is Donna Sebo, and when we come back, I'll share a story with you that somebody sent via email. Also, perhaps even share with you some easy fix-it secrets for the home. Anyway, Donna Sebo here. We're taking a break. If you'd like to call in and chat with me, 888-815-9756 is the number. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. I always appreciate the stories and items that you send me via email. And if you have something that you feel that people should know about, just send it to me at donna@delphiinternational.com. And I got this particular story from Gail, and she said it was so inspiring to me, I thought I would pass it along to you. And I thought, okay, that's great. I'll be glad to share it with my audience. It's so nice to be able to share what I think reinforces good thinking, good attitudes, and an understanding of how what is put out goes out and then comes back and returns, sometimes in an unusual way. This is about a gentleman who one afternoon saw an elderly lady stranded on the side of the road. And it was beginning to get towards the latter part of the afternoon, and so it was sort of starting to get dark, and he saw that she needed help. So he pulled up in front of her vehicle, which happened to be a Mercedes, and he was driving a car that wasn't in too good a shape and didn't look particularly exciting and was sort of sputtering. Well, he walked towards her, and he had a smile on his face, and of course, she was concern. No one had stopped to offer her any kind of help. She'd been sitting on the side of the road for well over an hour, and the first thought was one of fear. Was he going to hurt her? He didn't look safe. He looked like he was very poor. His clothing was nothing to impress anyone with. He also, in her mind, looked very hungry. Now, he saw, this gentleman did, that this elderly lady was becoming frightened. She was standing outside of her vehicle, and it was getting cold, and she was shivering. And he understood how she was feeling. He said, it's a kind of chill that when you're afraid that it's there. It could be 120 outside, and you'd still be freezing. Well, he just very graciously said, I'm here to help you, ma'am. Why don't you get back in your car where it's warm, where you're going to feel more comfortable. Let me introduce myself. My name is Brian Anderson. Well, what he found out is that she had a flat tire. But he said, being an older lady, he knew she couldn't fix it. So he looked underneath the car, trying to figure out where he could put the jack so that he could change the tire for her. And, of course, it was pretty rough work because he was on a very irregular surface. And eventually he was able to get the tire changed, and he got very dirty in the process, and his hands, obviously, were very uncomfortable and bleeding. Now, he was tightening up the lug nuts when this elderly lady rolled down her window and began to talk to him. She told him she was from St. Louis and was just passing through the area, and she just didn't know how to thank him, and you know, for helping her. She said, "I just don't know what I can do." Well, after he got out from underneath the car and he was coming up to the side and he leaned on the window section and he smiled at her and he said, "I'm going to go close your trunk and I'm going to put the jack back in as well as the damaged tire." And she said, "Okay," and she wanted to know how much she owed him. Now, she could have been asked for any amount. She didn't care. She had money. And she was imagining all the things that, you know, that could have happened with her being left on the side of the road. She said, "Wow, this is just a real good Samaritan. This is a very nice young man." Well, Brian never thought twice about being paid. This wasn't a job to him at all. This was just helping somebody in need. And he said, "Goodness gracious, there were so many people that have been so kind to him through the years that had given him a helping hand in the past. He had just lived his whole life learning from others. You just give what you can when you can. You sort of just pass on that kind of good." And it was just a part of his nature. He just didn't think twice about it. So Brian told her that if she really wanted to pay him back, the next time she saw someone who needed help, she could give that person the assistance they needed. And he said, "Just think of me when you're doing it. Just pass it along." So he made sure that her car started up properly and that she could drive off okay. And he said, it just brought in a light to his day, because it had been a pretty rough day for him. He had had some depressing news, and he was heading on home. So it was getting dark, and this lady, on her way down the road, she saw a small cafe, and she decided after her experience of being stranded for so long that she better get something to eat before she continued, and she wanted to warm up because she just couldn't seem to get warm. So she said, "I'm going to stop into the restaurant." Well, the restaurant wasn't anything exciting to step into. It was rather dingy looking. Outside of the restaurant were two old gas pumps, and the whole scene was not something that was familiar to her in any way, but she was hungry. Well, the waitress, when she saw the elderly lady come in, she brought a clean towel for her to, you know, just refresh her, and she said, "You know what? This waitress had just the sweetest smile, and this waitress had been on her feet for a whole day." And the lady, the elderly lady, noticed that the waitress was nearly 8 months pregnant, but she was not fussing about anything. She had this wonderful smile on her face. Well, the elderly lady wondered how someone who had so little, because this really was a dinky place, how could this person be so generous and so warm and friendly to a perfect stranger? And then Brian's face popped into her mindset. So the lady ordered a meal and found that it was very, very good. And when she finished her meal, she gave the waitress a $100 bill to pay for it. Well, the waitress went to get change for the $100 bill. But when she turned around to take the change back to the table, the lady was gone. She was gone by the time the waitress came back, and the waitress wondered where she had disappeared to. And then she noticed something written on the napkin underneath the plate as she was picking it up. And the waitress started to cry, because this is what the lady had written on the napkin. "You don't owe me anything. I have been there too. Somebody once helped me out the way I'm helping you. If you really want to pay me back, here is what you do. Do not let this chain of love end with you." Tucked inside the napkin were four more $100 bills. Well, that's not the end of the story. She had tables, she had the clear sugar bowls to fill and a lot of people to take care of, but she made it through another day. That night when she got home from work, climbed into bed, she was thinking about the money and what the lady had written. She wondered, how could this elderly lady have known how much she and her husband needed? The baby was due in the next month, and it was going to be very hard. She knew how very worried her husband was, and he was sound asleep next to her. She gave him a soft kiss and whispered very soft and low, "Everything's going to be all right, sweetheart. I love you, Brian Anderson." I told you, what goes around comes around. Gail said, "I sent you this story. I hope you'll pass it along." And I'm doing just that. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. What's your vision for yourself? This weekend, maybe you'll take some time just for you and think about that. You're here to make this world a better place by being the finest person you possibly can be. Give yourself that gift. Give yourself that time to ask the questions. What is it that fills my heart, my mind, and my spirit with joy? It'll be a fun experience. And then, won't you pass it along? This is Donna Sebo. Talk with you on Monday. Same time, same place. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.